I'm going to go to work now. I've been drawing attention all week to an old man. His name's Haggai. Page 1013, if you have a Bible like mine. If you don't, Haggai, he comes after Zephaniah. He comes in front of Zechariah. And they all come after Genesis. And before Matthew. Old Testament. God's people had been asked by God to return home and build up his work. The time was on the horizon for the stage to be set for the first coming of the Messiah. As I have taught in our daily program all week, you all should be listening. 50,000 out of 650,000 who could have played a part in what God was doing, 50,000 out of the 650,000 picked up the challenge, uprooted themselves from Babylon, made a four-month march across desert from Babylon back to Jerusalem to find God's work wasted in a state of total disrepair, a temple with burned-out beams, rubbish everywhere. The first thing they did was offer an offering to the Lord. Had 7 months to get their own house in order, then returned to Jerusalem and started working. The minute they started working, Satan unleashed all kinds of opposition. And they quit. After laying the foundation and having a revival fit, dancing around in joy, a good start was substituted for a total finish, and the opposition made them quit. 15 years they did nothing. Now you might think God could have gotten the work done. Well, he didn't. We cannot do God's work without God. He, for whatever reason, won't do it without faith in people. They gave up faith. They went home because it was tough. They fainted under the pressure. This 80-year-old man stirred him up. Now, I've been twice this week on his first message. He preached four messages. The book of Haggai's got four messages. That's all it took. Man, I wish I could preach like that. Four messages got it done. This must be voice of faith heading toward 400. That's discouraging. That's plumb discouraging. This 80-year-old man got it done with four sermons. I'm still working toward 400. Now, that's the best argument I can find anywhere in Scripture for letting Haggai do the preaching, which is what I'm going to do. Where's my handkerchiefs? I always have a handkerchief.
And I tell you, you can trust an officer of the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department. Sometimes when I get it from Sammy, I never know whether it's used or not.
I'm going to let Haggai preach. His first sermon was no nonsense, and I can race through it because I've already preached on it. He came charging out and said, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not yet, the time that the Lord's house should be built. If it were God's time, it wouldn't be so hard. If it were God's time, we wouldn't have problems. We started out and it was easy. So when it got hard, we believe in obeying the Lord." He must be speaking. These tough times mean stop. Haggai said, "How come you're a spiritual nut on those matters and very common sense and practical on your own matters?" He didn't say it that way. What he said was, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, think on them, take a good look at yourself and what you're doing. Ye've sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. How come these things are happening? Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain." I'll skip that verse by simply saying, get busy with God's work, God's house. Because you're not doing it, consider your ways. You look for much, lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that's waste. You run every man to his own house. And you turn on the TV, and you pop up your feet, or prop them up. And you say, let's see what old Scott's doing tonight. I wonder if those people are going to call when he asks them to. Got to hand it to the old booger. He just keeps hanging in there. We better watch tonight. Tonight might be the night that they call and do it for him. Now, me, I can't afford it. If I ever get a little more on my feet, I'll help the old boy. You know, he's entertaining. I believe he's doing a good work. But I got kids to raise and a house to build, a car to pay for, mortgage payments, and my kids' education, and a wife that went out and bought too much. Plus, I got a bet on the football game. And if I don't have that $220 I lost last Sunday, when that collector comes by next week, he might break my arm. Of course, I don't know, I hear those things. Now, I figure if I bet three this Sunday, I'll make it back.
And if the Lord lets me win, I'm going to help old Scott next week. How'd his hair get out from under that thing I tied? That's too much to pull out. Consider your ways. You mean he's working on that satellite budget again? Just seemed like last week I was sitting here watching him do it. What matter those people? Why don't they just support him so he can get on with the teaching? I really enjoy that pyramid bit. I was learning something. He got me into Atlantis. You know, I've never listened to any preacher before, but I'm interested in what he's doing. I believe if I can just get on my feet, I'll support him. You look for much, and lo, it came to little. Hey, you know, here's another one. I used to support him, though. I sent him $100 about 2 years ago. Yeah, I really did. Hey, honey, it was 2 years ago we sent that preacher to $100, didn't we? That ought to buy me 10 years of listening to him entertain me. You know, he talks about this faith business. It sure didn't do much for me, giving him that hundred. I mean, I looked for much, and lo, when I got home, it was little. I didn't spend that much at the corner bar. I only had a couple. When I brought it home, something sure blew on it. Let me read it the way it is. You looked for much, though it came to little. And when ye brought it home, God speaking, I did blow on it. You mean God would take from his busy schedule to blow my stuff out? Well, there's that gimlet-eyed lobster over there that gave the $100 two years ago. He really feels good about it. Whew. I just got a raise today, honey. Some of those things we've been planning to do, maybe we can do with the kids this summer. And God says, hey, Gabriel, blow. The car breaks down. Termites get in the house. The kids get sick. Somebody hits you broadside tomorrow morning on the way to work. You say, God does those things? I don't know. I mean, that ain't God's word. I'm just sort of figuring out how I'd blow if I were doing the blowing. All I know is he's going to do some blowing. And much just sort of damn his hair. He said, damn. Well, I think it was awful. I think it's awful. I did it, but I did it. Now, if the hair stays out of my eyes, I won't do it anymore for a while. You look for much? Am I boring you? And Lord, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I don't want to preach today. I want to talk to you. I got a job to do, and I don't want to do it by myself. What are you coming here for except to hear me talk to you? That's why you came. I'm going to talk. We settled that question just like that. What I said. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, look at this bonus, honey. I didn't blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste. Well, now, wait a minute. I consider myself part of all the king's houses. I consider myself part of that church. And I watch every Sunday. I can see. This place ain't waste at all. I mean, that's good enough for God anywhere. Look at those lights. About half of them burn. Look at that paint job up there. Looks to me like some stray dogs camp out on the other side. Look at those pews. I mean, those God's children never had better seats to sit on. I mean, it's supposed to be torture to go to church, and these red seats qualify. It isn't God's house that's waste. That looks pretty good to me. That old gymnasium. Look at the way they have artistically strung those cords up there and those cables. I mean, everything is first class. They've even left the spots here on this red tablecloth. Now, that looks like a cigarette burn. God have mercy. If that isn't snot, I'll go you one. I mean, God's not very particular around here. You don't even have to iron the little napkin there. He doesn't care, you know. God feels comfortable. And these drapes. Now, they're really something. That's the nice little decorated piece that holds that up. Isn't that nice? Looks like they cut it off of an old railroad tie when they tore the railroad up. What do you mean my house is waste? Looks pretty good to me. Let's go buy that Honda we've been planning to buy. Or that Cadillac. Or that yacht. Now, having made that point rather delicately, I don't really think God cares that much about stone and steel. That's not the house of God today. I think we ought to give some dignity to the place that we invite the king. I think this place is long overdue in the window dressing. But that's really not the house of God today. The house of God, ye, those that live and walk in faith, are the house of God. Well, now, that's sure, that's great. That's great. I'm the house of God. There ain't nothing wasted about me. I'm even expanding. I mean, I look fine. That's right.
Some of you have come from death unto life. Some of you have come from darkness to light. Some of you have come from bondage to freedom. And there's a nation out there that's still wasting, dead and dark and bound. And I never wanted to go national. And I think the people that have been around a long time know that's true. But as painful as it is, I've been listening to religious television. And there is nobody else teaching what is being taught here. And it's long overdue. It is long overdue that God's house across this nation and Canada be built up. Now, if God raises somebody else up and we see somebody else doing it, we can rejoice. And the pressure will not be on us as great. But there isn't anybody else doing it. I listen every Sunday. They're all still doing the very things that bound up most of you. They're all still doing what left most of you out. And God's house is wasting. Now, I preached through these books 3 times about a debt on this little church that had to be paid for God's honor. That was warm-up practice. Now it's time that we take on the task of the wasted house of God across this land. How do we do it? You look for much, and lo, it came to little. When I want to talk to you today and have you understand God's Word. I've been preaching faith here for 9 years. Faith is an action based upon what God says, a belief that when He says it, He'll do it, and a confidence that maintains that action because you know when God says it, forever is settled in heaven. Our choice is to grab hold of it and act. Now, this is God's Word today. And every one of us stand at a crossroad. If you look for much, lo, it came to little. When you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man to his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, upon the oil, upon that which the ground bringeth forth, upon men, upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Hey, I always preach to myself. You know that. And what leaks through gets to you. I don't live up to God's Word the way I'd like to. And I will no longer limit my preaching to what I have accomplished and what I have performed. I'm going to preach God's Word while we all strive to reach it. But I apply it to myself first. I learned a good lesson the last month and a half. I dared presumptuously because we were reaching out and the going was tough to say, I ain't going to take on any more stations. God's house out there is wasting and He can take care of it. He wants me to go. He can pay the bill in advance. Then I'll sit here, count the dollars we have in a savings account and say, which station shall I spend this money on? Well, I didn't quite say it like that, but that's the end result. You want me to do something about your wasted house, God, and it sure is wasted. You know, Jerusalem was surrounded by false priests and false prophets that had been placed in the land. They weren't doing anything about it. Now, I dared to say, nope, not going to put this work under strain anymore. That's just the way it is. I'll just close these doors, teach these people that'll support me, and we can make enough to pay all the bills, and that's it. We'll just stay here and talk to each other about the good things of the Lord and pray for the wasted house. We've had the worst month we've had since we went on satellite. We are closer to the deadline this month of losing the satellite than we've been since we went on satellite without the money to pay it. Now, my Bible tells me that when something's wrong, each person ought to analyze himself and act as though the whole blame is his. I'm starting it. And I made my change. I'm asking that each of you consider your ways. You can't rise above the pastor that's leading. I accept that responsibility. But thank God I still have the ability to let God's Word speak to me. You see, we're not calling the shots. The Lord is the Lord of the harvest. I haven't yet resisted the devil under blood. And every time in 9 years that we've had the faith to step, including the big step when we doubled the budget in 1 month, we made it. I listened to Haggai. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew and the earth is stayed from her fruit. I call for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of the hands. You know what I believe? I believe that just as I have been chosen, you've been chosen. I believe if you fail the Lord, I suffer and the work suffers. I believe if I fail in faith, you suffer. Not just the suffering that's obvious, the preaching stopping or anything of that nature. I literally believe that when the leader fails, the drought hits all of us. When you fail, the drought hits all of us. I'm taking blame today for some of your misery. Well, I'm going to call in the chicks. Unless you take blame for some of mine. We are all chosen for a task. And what God's Word is saying is your own personal well-being starts and ends with the way in which you deal with God's priorities. Simple as that. I call for a drought. Upon all the labor of the hands. I'm glad that faith lets you start over. I face the toughest challenge in terms of time compression since we went on satellite. And yet I'm as sure as I stand here that we're going to make it because God's Word promises when you start acting in faith, He meets you. My job as pastor is to get you moving with me. I call for a drought upon all the labor of the land. Pretty tough responsibility. When I really think it through, if God has called us to deal with the waste in His house. And let me tell you, there's only one way that the book of Hebrews says you qualify as the house of God. If you remain steadfast in the profession of your faith,
doing the same thing that got you started. You are God's house, His dwelling place, as long as you're faithing. And God's dwelling place as long as you are faithing God's way.
Now the house is wasted. There's no Shekinah in the holy place in spite of all the noise. Unless faith is activated the right direction, and I still insist, nobody is motivating biblical faith. It's humanism, faith for you. Or it's the same old hat stuff, saber-toothed tiger curriculum that's driven people out of the church. Now that house, if we don't step out and obey, those children of Israel didn't have a choice at Kadesh Barnea. These people didn't have a choice at Jerusalem. We don't have a choice this April 15th, 1984. And if I do not move forward, not only will the work fail, you'll suffer. That's always been it. In the Bible, if the king fail, I ain't no king. We have only one king. I'm an under-shepherd. But the principle of earthly leadership in any plan that God has, if the leader fails, the people suffer. If the people fail, the king and the people suffer. I want us not to be preached at today, but to consider our ways. Do we really believe God's word? You know, everybody got excited while we sing. Faith is the answer, okay? Here's what faithing confronts. Then Zerubbabel and Joshua, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. They hadn't put his house first. The minute they got their heads together and just pointed the right direction, then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. They were all back in their villages. But the minute they got their head out of themselves, God went where they were, with them, to lead them back into the fray. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, Joshua, and all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts their God. That's the first message. Second message followed. Speak unto Zerubbabel, the son of the governor of Judah, or the son of Shealtiel, he, Zerubbabel, was the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the high priest, and to the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? How do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Now, we teach a lot on history. I never tire of pointing to those epic moments when God has chosen a little band of people or an individual and has literally influenced the whole world. That's why I keep talking about the uncommon man. If you want to be a walrus and lay around the church somewhere and get a pin and a card that says you're going to heaven, go somewhere else. But if you want to influence the whole world and history, come here. Now those will say, you know, now that I'm here, seeing it in the daily grind, doesn't seem like that much. I mean, you know, I read about those disciples in New Testament time, Paul turning cities upside down, Luther like a burning flame across northwestern Europe, the Enlightenment, the Great Awakening. You know, this is just grind, grind, grind every day. Doesn't seem like all that. Be strong, Zerubbabel.
Be strong, Joshua. Be strong, all ye people, and work, for I am with you. You may not see all that's going to happen, but be strong, I'm with you. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit is with you. Fear ye not.
For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, I'm getting down to something that I resist preaching. Now, I've been worked over a little bit by it, but I'm going to tell you what I've resisted. You've heard me say, every great and wonderful thing that God has promised to His people, Satan always sends somebody in to twist it out of shape, so you get turned off on it. Exploitive divine healers turn people off on the knowledge and the truth that God's a healing God. Until if you had a healing service, people would cringe through misuse. How many times have I said offerings handled wrongly has turned the church of God off on the subject? The wondrous knowledge of who Israel is, because it was bent out of shape by cultic exploiters of the truth, literally turned the church world off on it. It's been my mission to grab some of those truths and save the baby from the bathwater that's thrown out. Likewise, exploiters of truth for their own gain have robbed the church of the truth of what God will do if you act in faith. And I'm talking about the misuse of prosperity doctrines, the misuse through such things as blessing packs, seed faith, come plant seed, give $1,000 and God will give you $100,000, give $100 and God will give you $1,000. And I have to say, I get riled at the exploiters of God's truth to fill their coffers by telling people you give to God and you get rich, because you won't. But let me draw the parallel to healing. I think I have communicated that if you are sick or in a wheelchair, God's word says forever settled in heaven, I am the Lord that healeth thee. You ought to act in faith as though that word is true for you. And if you die not healed, still in your wheelchair, you have the eternal benefit of acting in faith, which ensures your eternal position. And you get your healing in the beyond. But don't stop believing God for healing and acting on faithing every day when you're sick. Let that be the opportunity for faith and say, God, your word proclaims it. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. If I can't stand up, I'll sit up. If I can't sit up, I'll nod my head, as you've heard me say. If I can't nod my head, I'll roll my eyes around. Well, God doesn't heal me. Then go out swinging. That's in God's hands. His word is forever settled in heaven. Faith grabs that word and acts. And if you die, you wake up in eternity, welcomed into eternity with the record his last utterance was a failing act. From his wheelchair or his hospital bed, he said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. I think I've communicated that truth, that you ought to faith, not because of the results you get down here. You ought to faith because God's Word says it. If you get the healing here and now, marvelous. But you're bound to get the eternal benefit because you faith. Now, I've quarreled with prosperity preaching because it tends, like the misuse of the healing teaching, to create an atmosphere where first-class faith citizens get the results. If you really got faith and believe God right, and you're in a wheelchair, you'll jump up and be healed. And therefore, the poor guy in the wheelchair that said, "Lord, I believe," and is still sitting there, he must be a second-class Christian. And you've heard me quarrel about that. Results belong to God. Faithing is ours to do. When the results come, now or in eternity, belongs to God. We are to act in faith because God said it, not because we see results. And as long as we're acting in faith because God said it, God will give the results in His time to whom He will. But faith stands or falls and has its own benefit in the doing of it, because the minute faith is turned loose, we are placed in Christ in eternity, and His Spirit is placed in us, and we are being saved, and the connection point is that faithing act. I really believe, first church ever, but I really believe I've gotten that across to sick people. And that the Hebrews letter points out in the 11th chapter, some die not having obtained the promise. But they have the same report and the same entrance into heaven. Faith. Now let me apply it to blessing packs. The promises of God are abundant. And that's what we're coming to with Haggai here. When he finishes this second message, he so turns on a young man, 30 years old, named Zechariah, that Zechariah starts preaching too. And Zechariah picks up where this second message ends, and I haven't come to that point yet because that'll be the end of my message. Ezra and Nehemiah will need help because Haggai is going to die, and Malachi will come along and start preaching as a prophet to help Nehemiah. He will pick up the same message that Haggai proclaimed and that Zechariah begins with. Now, when Zechariah picks it up, he's going to open his preaching in the prophecies of Zechariah, saying, "You turn to God. You put Him first. You make building His house the priority of your life. He'll turn to you and look out for your house." Malachi will pick it up and make it so stringent, he will have God call them thieves and robbers, and will say to them, "You have robbed me." They'll say, "How?" Tithes and offerings. And then he'll lay down the most remarkable thing. It's as though God, toward the end of the Old Testament, gets almost beside himself. He destroyed a generation of Israelites for proving him, for testing him. But now it's as though he's so frustrated. As he closes the Old Testament, he throws it open to everybody, sinner and saint. "Prove me. I'm going to give you a chance. Prove me. And see if I don't open the windows of blessing and give you until it flows over your basket, pressed down, running over. Try me out." Now, I think I'm right with the consistent stream of God's Word. We ain't in no position to put God on trial. But He closes the Old Testament saying, "You miserable bunch of thieves and robbers, try me. Bring me all the tithes and offerings into the storehouse and prove me herewith." It's as though the troubling of the waters at the pool of Bethesda. Only occasionally did it get troubled. It's as though God, who'd breathed out fire and judgment throughout that Old Testament, ends up saying, "All right, you got a break. Try me out." Well, don't I have to get saved first and become perfect and go confess all my sins? Stand up in front of the church and give them all the details. Cry for a month. Get dunked. And have all the saints approve me. Nope. Lying thief that you are. I'm giving you a break. It's obvious I'm not going to get many of you in heaven until my son comes and dies. It's obvious you're all a bunch of sinners. But I'm going to give you a break. When you really think about it, it's the most amazing thing in the whole Old Testament. Give me a break. Try me. Come on. Tithe and offering, you truck it on down and support my house. Well, he knew it wasn't going to cost him much. You see, God ain't dumb. He knew that we'd look that gift horse in the mouth. He knew there wouldn't be enough people taking him up to even make a dent in the first ball to heaven. I can just hear it in my own ears. Trick. Trick. It's the way these preachers have always got money. Just trick. I ain't falling for it either. Not me. I've worked too hard for my money. No deal. Now the angels up there in heaven are making book and winning. I just see Gabriel run around. Man, he's keeping a notebook full. I'll bet you that they don't take him up on it, Michael. I'll put $100 on that. And old Gabriel's turning green. See, God knows how to set old, or rather Michael's turning green. Because he's the one that bet on us. See, God knew how to set him up. He'll be so mad at the devil when he's finally turned loose to beat him out of heaven, he'll just beat the living jollies out of him. Poor Michael will be broke by the time that fight lets loose. He put his money on us. All that's just sheer speculation. But I'll tell you this, God didn't run much risk. And the only people that have been beating these verses to death are the crooks. That's the point I was making. Because, you know, there are a lot of people that have tried that, have put God to test. And they've never been begging bread, but they're still looking for the bushel basket running over. And some of them died with less than $10 in the bank. Therefore, we just won't preach that. It's like healing. Because some people believe God for healing and didn't get healed, we're not going to preach it. And then the exploiters come along, and they preach healing, and print a magazine every month with the picture of the 10 that got healed, and they just burn up the letters of the 90 that didn't. And the healing power of God became the domain of the exploiters. I repeat, I believe I've started to get across the message. You better act in faith on God's promise to heal if you're sick, if you die of the sickness. Because the healing that comes here is icing on the cake. God promised it, but it is within God's sovereign time schedule to know when He'll drop it down. But the minute you start practicing the faith and healing, you get the benefits of eternal life and the rewards of riches in heaven, faith tried in the fire. Now listen to me. I refused to quit preaching on healing because some people didn't get the healing power coming down instantly. Forever it's settled in heaven. If it ever drops down, it'll be because somebody kept walking along in faith. Now I want to apply it to these blessing promises of provisions. Jesus said it. No man hath forsaken father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, houses and lands, but he shall receive manyfold return, not just in the life to come, but here also. That is a promise of blessing here and now, as literal as a promise of healing here and now. And Zechariah said, in the context of material things, you turn to me, God speaking, put my house first, and I will turn to you. That's a promise of material blessing, just exactly like a promise of healing. I want you to really listen close as I come to the end, because it's the delicate subtlety of this message that has made me hesitate to preach it down through the years. Malachi, he doesn't mince words. You've robbed me. Tithe and offerings. Now prove me. Prove me. Bring ye all the tithes and offerings into the storehouse, and I will pour out on you a blessing you can't contain. Now, my logical brain tells me that just as the healing promises are forever settled in heaven, but it will not fall except faith pulls it down, and mine is to faith until it either comes down or I die and go where healing reigns, with a large account of faith tried in the fire, the gold, the pure gold, which is heaven's legal tender. Same logic says, the prosperity, and that's why I'm going to use the word which just grates on my teeth, prosperity doctrine preached in isolation, without what I'm saying, is error and heresy. The prosperity promises, pressed down, running over, no man is forsaken, but shall receive not only in life to come, but here, houses, lands, etc. That prosperity promise is equally forever settled in heaven. But again, in God's sovereignty, it will drop down on the faither as God wishes. And whereas 10 may get their healing in heaven, and 2 or 20 get their healing down here, that's God. Faith grabs the Word of God and acts
And the minute you're acting, you get the benefits of eternal salvation, the rewards that are eternal, as you keep your grip, and only as you keep your grip. In God's sovereignty, too many, maybe to you, me, He will keep the promise down here. The error of faith preaching, they don't finish the 11th chapter of Hebrews. They do not allow that some die not having obtained the promise. So what? Forever it's settled in heaven. And if you give up on the promise, I'll guarantee you, you won't get it down here. But if you hang in faith, because God's Word says it, in His will, He gives in response to faith. Some will die not having obtained the promise. But only as you act on it. Is it going to happen to you if you're one of those that receive it in time? And only as you act on it is faith contact made that gives you the eternal rewards. Now, with that proviso, I've made up my mind. I'm not willing to give the promises of God regarding His taking care of you as the Lord who provides to the carnal men and the exploiters of the Word. My Bible says, the same Bible that says God's name declares Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. That same God declared His name Jehovah Jireh, I am the Lord who provides. My Bible says, Zechariah again, you turn to Him, He'll turn to you. You neglect His house, He'll hit you with a drought. Your money will go into bags with holes in it. Oh, you're tricking me again. Well, have at it. What are you doing here today? I always preach faith. And that was rhetorical. You're here because you are faithers. I have made up my mind, as it's been my mission, to rescue the gem of truth from the coating that's turned it into error. It's about time somebody preached the prosperity promises the way God intended. I'm a living proof. A constant living proof. I can't remember when I've had to worry about my personal needs. I became a channel for God years ago. I don't have to be on satellite. I can take this month's proceeds and dump it in the Pacific. You told me I could. Nevertheless, as I've been a channel, the channel's widened. When I closed the channel, said, no more stations, the drought hit. And I apologize to you, it hit you too. Some of you because of me. Damn it, I'm going to get real mad if it hits me because of you. God still said it. Try me. Bring ye all the tithes and offerings into the storehouse and see. You know what? I think some of you ought to make up your mind. You ain't dead yet. Now, poor is a state of mind, broke's a condition. I think some of you ought to make up your mind. Well, he's right. I got holes in my bags. And I expected much and ain't got much. I'm going to try this. I don't know if he's tricking me or not, but I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it. And you know, as long as you ain't dead, today might be the day. A relative died I never heard of and got $1 million. I bought a lottery ticket and won $13 million. Today might be the day. No, not me, Scott. I'm going to wait until I got it, and then I'll give. You ain't going to do this to me today. You know, you're clever, but I watch you. Me and you carry on these mental gymnastics every day. You're pretty good. I mean, you make it sound so sensible. I'm almost ready to bite. No deal. Not me. I ain't going to fall for that. No siree. You know how much 10% of what I got is? I'll tell you how much it is. If I lose the other 90%, it'll feed me one day at least. That 10% could keep me from starving. Now, take that in your old pipe and smoke it, Scott. You're going to get me. I mean, I sit here and watch you. And I'm curious if you're going to get those other people to do it. I didn't say it. I'm in the business of preaching God's Word, and He said it. No matter how much it's been misused by the prosperity doctrine preachers, He said it. It's another one of those handles you can grab as you climb the wall of faith. God said it, try me out. Now, where's my Bible? Dang it, where did the thing go? I can just see some people that fell themselves or threw themselves on the floor just then and said, oh, praise God, my prayers are starting to have effect. He said, dang it, instead of damn. Here's what he says. Thus saith the Lord, you keep working on my house. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, the desire of all nations, commentator after commentator has interpreted that as Christ coming. That ain't it. That ain't it. Next verse tells you what's coming. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. That's what the nations desire. That's what the world wants, money. King Dollar rules. And they pursue it like the Holy Grail. But God is saying to those people grubbing around there, get busy on my house. I'm promising you, you put me first, I'll take care of you. And don't question whether it's coming from. The silver's mine and the gold is mine. They may desire it, but I'm the boss. And I'm going to give it to the people I want. Well, how come so many of these people out here got it and I ain't got it? You know, I don't know the answer to that. I only know how to get it in your pocket, the way of faith. You say, well, a lot of people tried it and died pretty poor. A lot of people believed in healing and died pretty sick. They both wake up in heaven with the record as they walk in. There comes a faither. Now, I have taken my share of the blame today. I've made up my mind. Oh, yeah, I'll falter and stumble and get mad and cry and curse a little. But I made up my mind. I'm too far to turn back. And every time that I've practiced faith so I could hold one over on the Lord, say, damn it. I knew it didn't work. I finally got you where I want you, God. We're going to rewrite this section. He lucks out and comes in just when I about won. Just when I've made him a liar. He shows up. And sometimes it makes me so damn mad I don't even want the blessing. I mean, there are times it'd be much better to be able to tell him off. Because he's waited so long, he just might as well not come at all. But he does it. Can you write a song, "Damn It, God"? Why don't you set your clock right? That's a good song. Why don't you come at my beck and call? Ludicrous, isn't it? Stupid, huh? Well, can we get with it? Because these promises are still in God's book. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. In this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. We are building up the house of God, getting it ready for His second coming. There are people been saying for years, we've got to raise this money, folks, and we've got to take the gospel to the world. Because until we've taken it to every nation, the Lord can't come. Horse spit. My Bible says that during the millennium, the Jews in the Feast of the Tabernacle every year will give the witness to the remote parts of the world, and if they don't come, God will give them the plague. That's a lot better. The end will not come until He says, "Behold, I make all things new." The gospel will still go out during the millennium. And remote nations will come to the Feast of the Tabernacles at Mount Zion to worship in the temple that Ezekiel's dimensions demand to be built. I'll tell you this. The Lord won't come until the lost tribes of Israel understand their inheritance. If I want to use an argument, I'd say that message is more important than going out and taking the gospel everywhere. Jesus said, "Don't preach this gospel unless you tell what this woman did. Nobody else is doing it. I'm the only preacher in America that is preaching the truth about giving in relationship to God's gift. God's house is waste. Yours is the opportunity. You get some bags that don't have holes in them. By taking off the top layer of that bag and bringing the tithes and offerings to God. It's amazing that people could be so dumb as not to jump at the chance. Now let's do some jumping this afternoon. Some of you need to get your giving act together. Particularly some of you. It is criminal that we do not have 5,000 tithers. It is criminal that we don't have 5,000 tithers. So I'm going to try it, and I better get rich quick. You beanhead. If you die broke, if you want to be saved and not go to hell, you better start acting on God's promises. That's what faith is, and you got to have that. Stand, everybody.